No one had seen her naked until her death. It was a rule of the order that the sisters should not look on human flesh, neither their own nor anyone else's. A considerable amount of thought had gone into the drafting of this observance. Under the billowing folds of their habits, each nun wore a long cotton shift, a garment they kept on always, even when they washed, so that it acted as a screen and partial drying cloth as well as a night shift. This shift they changed once a month, more in summer when the stagnant Tuscan air bathed them in sweat, and there were careful instructions as to correct procedure, how they should keep their eyes firmly fixed on the crucifix above their bed as they disrobed. If any did let their gaze stray downward, the sin was a matter for the confessional, and therefore not for history. There was a rumor that when Sister Lucrezia had first entered cloisters, she had brought with her a certain vanity along with her vocation. Her dowry to the church, it was said, included a lavishly decorated marriage chest filled with books and paintings fit for the attentions of the sumptuary police. But that was a time when the sisterhood had been prone to such accidents of abuse and luxury, and since the reforming of the convent the rules were stricter. None of the present inhabitants could remember that far back, save for the Reverend Mother, who had become a bride of Christ around the same time as Lucrezia, but had long since turned her back on such worldliness. As for Sister Lucrezia herself, she never spoke of her past. In fact, in the last few years she had spoken very little at all. That she was pious, there was no doubt, and as her bones stooped and glued together with age, so her piety and modesty had fused. In some ways it was natural. Even if she had been tempted to vanity, what surface could she have found to reflect herself in? The cloisters held no mirrors, the windows no glass. Even the fish pond in the gardens had been designed with a fountain at its center, sending out an endless shower of rain to prevent any possible narcissism in the water's surface. Of course, even in the purest of orders, some infringement is inevitable, and there had been times when a few of the more sophisticated novitiates had been caught surreptitiously considering their own portrait miniaturized in the pupils of their elders' eyes. But more often than not, this faded as the image of our Lord loomed larger. Sister Lucrezia seemed not to have looked directly at anyone for some years. Instead, she had spent increasing time at devotion in her cell, her eyes filming over with age and the love of God. As she became more ill, so she had been absolved from manual labor, and while others were working, she could be found sitting in the gardens or in the herb plot, which she had sometimes tended. The week before her death, she had been spotted there by the young novitiate Sister Carmilla, who had been alarmed by coming upon the elderly nun sitting not on the bench, but stretched out upon the bare ground, her body under the habit distended by the tumor's growth, her headdress cast aside, and her face tilted up to the late afternoon rays of the sun.